What's going on? You know it's been a long day. I had to bust the ranch water back out. What's up, new guy? I'm the Degenerate 75. Glad you finally found my channel. I'm a high-limit DFS player who is here to talk about week-long DFS for PGA. If you don't know, we got a big tournament tomorrow. I believe it's called the AT&T Pebble Beach. All kinds of slab dicks are going to be in it. Don't think this is what golf is normally like. After this week, no more of this stupid shenanigans. We're going to be back to playing regular, normal golf at one fucking course. And we will be able to, you know, just like be normal and play how we know how to play instead of doing all this nonsense with three courses and having to watch Bill Murray hit shots. Whatever. Anyways, you should probably know this is my schedule. If you don't know, we do this 7 p.m. Lord's time zone every Wednesday. If you make your Linus for watching this, you're a donkey dick, and that's why you lose, among other things. You should also know that the flagship of my station is the Showdown Hoedown, in which we will, you know, we talk about Showdown, right? Which, if you don't know, way bigger edge at Showdown, especially at weird weeks like this when there's three courses to consider than there is at Week Long. I know Week Long has all the big prizes, and oh, you dream about winning all the money, but like, that's also why you deposit every week on DraftKings, okay? Go play in more sustainable tournaments where you have an edge. That's called Showdown. Check it out, brother. All right, I know you're digging my hat. Yeah, I know. Or he could. No, it's not for sale. I'm not selling it. Deal with it, Bob. Deal with it. I'm not going to sell him. Do you see my badass? I need to introduce this. I was going to do a thing like, you know, congratulating all the big winners from last week. Because, you know, like, you see all that, like, I mean, literally the editor was like, I can't make this thumbnail. We have too many effing pictures. I'm like, I get it. Just do the best you can. Look at this thumbnail. Like, we had such an amazing, just go look at PGA DFS and you'll see that flag flying everywhere. Incredible win for the community. You can probably see a lot of their names on the thumbnail, but I didn't have time to do them all. So incredible win. Very pumped for my mother fathers. Cause if you don't know, it ain't about me. It's about us and my community, you mother fathers. If you don't know, we'll be doing a big giveaway at the end. Ruffies D. I have all these guys that win. They're just like, hey, I want to give you some money. I will not take your money if you win. You won. I didn't win. So I won't take your money. But they want to sponsor giveaways. I'll do it. Yes, we're going to do giveaways. We're going to do them forever. Because if you don't know, everybody, we're not fucking poors around here. And we'll give money away to the people. Because I'm a man of the people. All right? By the way, you can tell the ranch water's kicking in. But no, new guy. I'm not going to do the giveaway now. You'll leave. You'll leave. I'm not going to do it. Hold on. Let me get the little view up. There you go. That's what it looks like. And we ain't doing it yet. All right. If you don't know, I got this little thing called the fuck counter above me because I have a problem saying the F-bomb. This is my F-till. Every time I say it, I'll put a dollar in it. And at the end, we will do a drawing for the F-counter and for the three people, you know, on the drawing. To make contest lineups with me, which I believe first place this week's $200,000. I'd love to PayPal your ass $100,000. We'll play in it, but you got to be here. Make sure you ask a question in the chat with a question mark, and that will make you eligible. And then the editor is going to go do blue, 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 and it's going to draw. I don't know how it works. I don't know. So last week, this guy right here, I believe his name's Rashad, beat me or played me in the F counter, and he beat me. Teddy?
Pay that man his money.
You're right, Teddy. We should pay him. We're going to pay Rashad. I owe you $20, but Rashad, he's a gangster mother father. What do you want me to say? And I got to tell you, I like the cut of his jib because he said, I don't want your $20. Let's roll it into a ticket. Let's play a $20 ticket. Me and my dude Rashad, we're playing a ticket in the big $20 pitch and putt this week, splitting the profits 50-50. I like the cut of the man's jib. He's got some balls. I hope we ship a big one. And congratulations on a badass lineup there, you mother father. I basically just played. I played Max Homa. I was like, hey, I got Max Homa. I'll win, right? No, you won't, Bob. So there you go. That's the breakdown on that. I've only said fuck twice. Damn it. Three times now. We're doing good. I might keep it under 20 tonight. I wouldn't hold your breath. All right. First thing we always got to ask, new guy. Very simple question. It's a very simple question. Have you made your lineup yet? You have, haven't you? You didn't know. You got to know that about me. If you make your lineups before you watch this show, you're a donkey dick, and you're making lineups without knowing everything. We got so many things to talk about, right? The first one is, of course, contest selection. If you don't know, there's all kinds of great tournaments. The week-long options this week are incredible. DK is really taking PGA DFS serious this year, and it's exciting. Even the big $20, which I typically hate. Not so bad, right? Okay, it is 28% to first, which goes above my 25%, But there's worse things in the world. I would encourage you, if you want to go do an MME, go hop in the big $5, which now that I'm looking, it's already filled because DraftKings refuses to accept that the people want it. That is the badass contest. The $150 is the nuts, but it's already filled, so you can't do it. They already have a secondary up, and look at this bad boy. It's already like a third of the way full. DraftKings, the people love PGA DFS. Give it to us. All right. If you don't know, there's always the 18 max $10, which is my baby. It's up to $50,000 this week. Check it out. The 555 is incredible this week. I love it. Only 20% to first. 10th place is 125th to first. All kinds of good tournaments. I know a lot of you watching are like, I don't get that kind of money. Quit talking about that shit. I get it. Go check out the 20 max $3, right? Only 10% to first, half of that to second, and 10th place is exactly 1/10. This is a nuts type of contest. This is how you sustain your bankroll, because I know you all want to play GPPs. I would encourage you to play more Showdown, encourage you to play more cash, but let's face it, at the end of the day, we're all chasing those screenshots that we can get and go post on Twitter, and this allows you to have that, right? And it's much more sustainable to your bankroll. These are the kind of contests you want to be playing in. If you're a medium-level player, you can never go wrong with a $33 single entry. I always love this $44 club twirl right here. It is such a good tournament. 12.5% to first. Great payout structure. Love that tournament. The $12 single entry, the $5 single entry, the $1 20 max. If you want to know what it's like to be a MME, a mass multi-entry, max, whatever the fuck it stands for, you need to know that is... That just means you can enter 150 lineups. You can go do this one right here, the mini max, $75. You can max enter, practice working on your exposures, practice getting a condensed player pool, and really attack a strategy, right? Maybe you want to go course edge this week, wind edge, whatever it is, and it's a great way to practice without having to remortgage your house, okay? That's what it is. There's just a lot of really great tournaments out there, right? I will tell you this. You want to go play in some satellites? I believe last I saw, there is still some satellites up for the Fantasy Golf World Championship, which I made in 2021, did not make last year, mother father. And because of that, it makes me want to play it this year. I will tell you this. Look at this, $10 to enter this, and you could win a Fantasy Golf World Championship ticket. But let's say that you beat 2,305 people and get second place. You get $150. Hey, Polly, tell him.
Get out of here
with that. That's terrible. I'm telling you, if you're trying to sustain your bankroll, don't go play in these satellites. Yes, they're awesome. Yes, they're fun. Yes, the dream is exciting of playing in the Fantasy Golf World Championship, but you will burn through your bankroll so quick. Just be aware of that. I'm trying to tell you. Hey, I know I always shit on them, but FanDuel, actually, you know, like, if you don't know, there are no real sharps playing FanDuel, and if there is, they're not talking about it, okay? I see some of the big names over there. I shouldn't have said it like that. There's not as many sharps over there on FanDuel. And if you don't know, here's the rule. Whoever is going to be chalky at DraftKings is going to be 50% higher owned, right? So Victor Hovland, let's say he's 27% this week on DraftKings, he will be 40% owned on FanDuel. So if you have a hot take on, like, you don't love Victor Hovland this week, just go play FanDuel and you'll have such a big edge over there, because pricing is so soft that ownership condenses. Everybody makes their DK lineups and then comes over and makes their FanDuel lineups and realizes how easy it is to, you know, pack three studs into a lineup. So if you want to be contrarian up top, FanDuel is such a great way to get started. It's where I hit my first two big GPPs that really got me started in realizing that I could do this at more than just a casual level, right? So don't, I know FanDuel sucks. I get it. Their contests suck, but they are up. Their main $9 contest is $100,000 this week with $20,000 to first. And if you think I have a partnership with DK, I don't. I have a great host, but that don't fucking mean anything. That's just because I play a lot of money over there. But of course, the best contest you should play in, it's mine. It's completely free. It's in the link of this video. If you get first place, you win a $20 ticket with me, which we will split the profits, and a week on my Discord. And if you get second place, you also get a week on the Discord, which, by the way, literally every person that has got the free week just ends up signing up because, like, they want to be part of the best community out there. So go do that in the link of the description. Let's get going. The first thing we got to talk about this week, other than the contest selection, is, do you know there's a course rotation? Do you know they're playing three courses? So why does that matter? Well, first of all, to just draw, you know, like, stats from one course and be like, ooh, I know how the courses are going to play. Well, you're full of shit is what you are, bruh. And so because of that, we have to consider that there's a three-course rotation and each of these courses offers something unique and a little bit different. Furthermore, we need to understand that course rotation could really bake in some real strategy to be played. played, right? Because if you don't know, I'm not going to share this with you. I've only shared over with on the Discord. But one of these courses, Pebble Beach, plays significantly harder when it is in the wind versus when it is calm, right? You know, all courses, of course, play tougher when the wind's there. But Pebble Beach, in particular, of these three courses, gets belligerently harder than it normally is, right? So but with that, that really bakes in a lot of strategy on what we want to know. Furthermore, you need to ask yourself, like, do I want my guy playing the hardest course first or the hardest course last? Because if you don't know, of these three courses, Spyglass Hill tends to be the toughest. However, when the wind is blowing, Pebble Beach actually gets quite a bit tougher than Spyglass Hill. So these are the kind of things you need to know when making your decisions about who to put in your lineups and how to do it. Furthermore, I would really encourage you to consider doing this. Do course stacks. When you're making your lineups, go make a lineup with all the guys who start on Spy Hill. Go do a lineup with all the guys that start on Monterey. Go do a lineup with all the guys who start on Pebble Beach. So if one of these waves ends up just getting, you know, the best weather draw possible and they end up clearing 1.5-2 strokes on everybody, you're going to get that across your entire lineup and you're going to have a huge advantage with that lineup versus everybody else. I truly encourage you to do that. I will be playing wave edges, but I will not be playing all of them. I will just be playing the one. So that is important to know. Furthermore, you need to know there's three rounds that everybody gets to play, only one round after the cut. Normally it's 2-2, new guy, but this week it's 1-1. So like, 3-1. So because of that, we need to know that we should be probably playing a bit more aggressive with our player pool and not worrying so much about missed cuts, because missed cuts won't hurt us as much this week as they normally do. If you have a good 5 out of 6, it will almost certainly cash this week, especially if you have the winner. All right, next question. New guy, what's the first thing we always check? Give you a sec. There you go, new guy. I had a good feeling about you. It's February, new month. You're a new man. Love the new guy. That's right. It's weather. Technically, it's wind. And look at me. I don't want to brag, but, you know, I coughed up the $18 and I bought the membership to windy.com, okay? And so there you go. I'm rich. What can I say? I have $18 for a yearly package, which is weird because they also had a $30 package, but you could buy the $18 yearly package. You guys fucking website's weird, windy.com. Whatever. All right. So it has winds blowing in all different directions. If you don't know, this is played up here in Monterey, California, which is a little peninsula that just sticks out there in the Pacific Ocean. And here is this one right here is Pebble Beach. It runs right along the coastline. For all of you that want a little geography lesson, Monterey Peninsula is right up here, and Spyglass is right here, a little bit more protected from the coast for a little simple reason. It's not on the fucking coast. There you go. You didn't know that, did you? Now you know, brother. So the one of these courses that is definitely most affected by the wind is Pebble Beach. So we will be zoomed in here on the little island. I think this is where 6, 7, and 8 is. I don't know. Not a golf course snob, but it is a thing. So here is the question. Pebble Beach is the one most affected by the wind. So if it is the one that is most affected by the wind, when do I want to play there? So that is the question. Well, as you can see, tomorrow is Thursday. Thursday is the first day, and you can see that pretty much for most of the day, it is pretty light. So if you have guys going out tomorrow, other than the cold, I wouldn't be too worried about the winds. I don't think the winds are really going to affect them tomorrow. So guys that are playing Pebble Beach tomorrow, I think they're going to score pretty well on, because Pebble Beach is only a little bit harder than Monterey Peninsula when there's no winds, right? So I think that it's very gettable tomorrow. However, let's scroll over here to Friday, and you can see, ooh, we've got colors, which means wind. And because of that, I think you need to be aware that, like, Pebble Beach will have a little bit more teeth Friday morning, not to mention it'll be balls cold. I believe that's what the scientists call it. And because of that, I think you really want to get guys that are going to be out there as late as possible and probably have their best rounds. But guys who play Pebble Beach on Saturday, which if you don't know, is basically fucking everybody. Okay, that's Spieth, that's Hovland, that's Fitzpatrick, that's Seamus Power, that's Maverick McNealy. All the studs you want to play are playing Pebble Beach Saturday. And as you can see, right around 11 o'clock, all six of these, I assume these are different towers. I don't know what the hell they are. I just bought it today, okay? Are all showing that the winds are going to pick up and be pretty significant for at least the entire second half of the round. Now, I will tell you, to make an entire week-long decision just based on the fact that there might be some afternoon winds could be a little short-sighted. But to not at least consider that whenever you're making your decisions about who to play this week, I think is also short-sighted. So because of that, you really need to ask yourself, when is the best time for my guys to be playing Pebble Beach? Because that is the course that tends to swing the most in difficulty based on the wind. And with that said, I would want guys who are going to be on Pebble Beach Friday afternoon. That seems like the best conditions to be out there. It'll be the warmest, softest conditions it'll be in with the least amount of winds. Okay? You want to know who those guys are? Come over to the website, you mother father. All right. We check more than one source. We are adults around here. We're going to go check Windfinder. And as you can see, they're saying the same thing. Thursday morning, nice. And then it picks up a little bit in the afternoon. So you don't want to be out there playing half your holes at 3 o'clock tomorrow, right? And these rounds will take a long time because if you don't know, a little secret, amateurs fucking suck. There you go. All right. Let's see. Friday, once again, seems to be the same thing. A little gusty in the morning. Get your guys out there as late as possible. I think Friday afternoon is the nuts. Although, weirdly enough, it does get cooler as the rains roll in. So maybe it won't be as good. Because if you don't know, coolness can affect scoring nearly as much as wind. Not always, but it can. And it doesn't have Saturday, but it does show that Saturday, with just the regular forecast, it's going to happen. Willie Weather says the same thing. We have got it picking up Thursday afternoon. We have it Friday calming down throughout the day. And Saturday, picking up. I'm just warning you, it could get a little nasty out there. Could get a little nasty. I will tell you, I watched a movie last night, and in the movie, the last line of the movie was, the weather channel does weather. I'm like, what the hell does that mean? I didn't get the movie at all. It was a weird movie, Nocturnal Animals. And because of that, I had no idea, but now I finally get the ending of the movie, The Weather Channel Does Weather. And as you can see here, we have the same thing, right? It's all the sites are showing the exact same thing. So it starts to become clear to me that I'm going to want guys that play Pebble Beach either Thursday morning or on Friday afternoon. I feel like those are the best. However, most of the good players are going to be playing Pebble Beach on the third round. Okay, that's almost all of the good players. Should you get off of Spieth, Hovland, Fitzpatrick, McNealy, Seamus Power, all of these really good players simply because they're playing Pebble Beach on the last round? No, you shouldn't. Okay, but if you're looking for any reason to dump these, you know, to dump the ugly chick at prom, well, then maybe this is the excuse you use. Okay, well, you know what? Like, she was playing Pebble Beach on Saturday, so I couldn't, you know, I had to leave her. That's what you do. Okay, I'm not telling you to go all in on this. Actually, please don't go all in on this. But it is something worth considering because when that course gets windy, it goes from almost the easiest course to definitely the hardest of the three. And to not know that and to not factor that in, you're being short-sighted and you're not playing the game. You're just having stupid fucking picks. All right. You know what? After the stream's over, I still got to go make a lot of lineups tonight. I will warn you, I'm playing way more showdown this week than week-long because I only play week-long when I see an edge. And the edge this week is razor thin, and I'm not even sure it's an edge. But if nothing else, it's an angle. So because of that, how am I going to make my lineups? I'm going to go right here to the solver. And the solver is the best optimizer out there. As you can see, if you use the solver, it has all my projections already loaded into it, all my ownership already loaded into it, and you can go make the best optimized forms of your player pool and make the best lineups. And here's the best part. It's $25 a month. I use this thing like 4 times a week, and it's the nuts every time. And it has all of my projections that I can use to optimize the best version of my player pool. And at $25 a month, when other people are charging over $100, is laughable. So if you want to sign up for this, which tons of people signed up in the first month, just go use my landing page, the Showdown Hoedown page, which will be in the description, and it will connect you to all of my projections and all of my ownership, and it'll be on there for you, and you can make the best version of your player pool. If you only make 5 lineups a week and you like to hand make them, well, optimizers aren't for you. But if you're a guy like me who's making dozens, hundreds of lineups every week, you got to have it. You got to have it. All right, new guy. You probably don't know this about me, but I have somehow become the ownership king. I'm not a dude that brags about it because I do know that other people are going to get better at it. Me putting this little tweet out every week has already started making people get noticeably better. It's hilarious to me for how long these people were charging outrageous prices and putting out such an inferior product, but now there's somebody here to hold them accountable. Amazing I don't have more friends. It's amazing I don't have more friends, but this is what you can do when you're an independent fuck who's not trying to be homies with anybody. So because of that, here's last week's ownership from the farmers. As you can see, well, I mean, just look at the chart yourself, right? Some people are really good at it. Some are horrendously bad. Some actually are pretty good at getting guys within 1-3%, but just have so many wild outliers. And then at the end, it really just comes down to R squared, which is a mathematical equation to see how close you are. There you go. You're probably using one of those sites for your projections. You determine what you want to use. That's up to you, brother. I just put the chart up there. All right. So the other thing you need to know is we're tracking Donkey Chalk, because if you don't know, Donkey Chalk is a 4-letter word around here, even though last time I checked, it's 6 letters. 11 if you include the chalk. So Every week, what I do is I pick three Donkey Chalk players, and then we pick a direct pivot off of them and like a wild punt pivot, okay? And we're tracking to see how that did. Last week, the Donkey Chalk was Max Homa, and I'm pretty he did pretty well. He won, I heard. And what sucks is I had Sungjae, which of a pivot off of him, and Siwoo as a pivot, who were both really good pivots, but not as good as Max Mother Father Homa. So because of that, Max Homa, once again, the Donkey Chalk up top delivers. It always does. Mav McNeely was our second one. He beat Cam Davis because Cam Davis hit the ball like me, but Tigala boat raced him. And then you had Johatin Vegas, who got beat by Joseph, don't call me Joshua, Bramlett. And he barely beat Lonto coming back from old back injury. And so if you want to know what it's looking like right now, you can see that the top Donkey Chalk guy is kind of smashing right now. However, what you really got to factor in is the Donkey Chalk number two is basically 50-50, even though he is almost twice the ownership. And the third Donkey Chalk is about 60-40, yet he's coming in at about 2.5 times the ownership. So the whole point of this is to measure. Does Donkey Chalk get there enough to justify playing it, right? And so far, the answer is to be determined. That's the answer so far, okay? So let's get to ownership this week, and let's talk about who are the most owned players. Because if you don't know, new guy, the most important thing in PGA DFS is ownership. And if you don't have ownership you can trust, then how can you possibly make decisions based off of that ownership? And that is what we do here. I have ownership that I try all day. I just sit there with a towel just wiping my forehead all day because I'm a sweaty, sweaty bastard that wants to get this ownership right. And here is my ownership. This is actually my final ownership. I might go tweak it one more time because if you didn't see, old DraftKings put a red Q next to Matthew Fitzpatrick, and you guys underestimate how many dudes are going to be taking a shit tomorrow morning and see that little red Q next to Matthew Fitzpatrick and be like, well, can't play him, and they're going to take him out of his lineup. So I actually have Matthew Fitzpatrick quite a bit lower than most of the other people that I have seen in the community. Most people have him as the highest owned player this week. I do think there's going to be a regression in his ownership because it is natural for people's buttholes to pucker when they see that little red Q next to a player. But here's what I want to tell you. Anytime I hear about some bullshit little story like this that pops up on a Wednesday, it makes me like him more. I haven't wanted to play Matthew Fitzpatrick all week. And now that I hear this, I'm like, maybe I should play Matthew Fitzpatrick, right? It's like, you know, it's just, I always go back to that stupid Morikawa can't hit his fade. He's only hitting a draw right now. And he finished like second that week. Shut the fuck up. That's so stupid with these Wednesday freakouts, okay? If you liked Matthew Fitzpatrick, you go nowhere, okay? You just stay the course. He's your guy. He's fine, okay? What's weird is I actually like him more now that we have this news out there because it's all just bullshit narratives. If there was something real to it, it wouldn't have got leaked. Shut up. Okay, let all the internet detective sleuths wannabes go lose their money fading him, okay? If you liked him, you play him. If you didn't like him, well, now just feel even better about fading him, okay? Let's talk about the chalk this week. Here are my 10 most owned players and a couple honorable mentions, okay? If you don't know, we classify guys into chalk, okay? There's okay chalk, which means like, yeah, I guess they're chalk by definition, but like, it's okay. There's chalk, I don't love it. And then, of course, there's donkey chalk! And we don't play donkey chalk around here, except when we do, okay? Like I did last week with John Rahm, mother father. All right, the first one is Victor Hovland. I've been back and forth on this one. A lot of people would probably say that Victor Hovland, you know, he's the highest owned guy. He's higher than the guys around him. But if you look, there's really only two guys up in his price range. You have Spieth directly above him. You have Fitzpatrick directly below him. And they're all relatively, you know, within 20% of each other. So because of that, I don't think that that qualifies as donkey chalk. So I think we have to call Victor Hovland chalk, right? He's a little high for my taste, right? But if you're in love with Victor Hovland and he's your play this week, I don't think that 27% relative to the people around him, that is the key mother father statement, okay, is relative to the people around him, he's not out of line, thus he cannot be donkey chalk. So I'm gonna call him chalk, okay? Now this is where it gets contentious, and I can already see people are gonna freak the f out when I say this. Are you ready? Matthew Fitzpatrick, 10,100. I still have him, and don't get it twisted. I have him at 25%, and that is higher than almost every, or that is lower than almost everybody else has him. This is where it gets controversial. I think at 25%, Matthew Fitzpatrick, he's donkey chalk. The man is donkey chalk, and let me tell you why. Why is he donkey chalk, but Victor Hovland's not? Your system makes no sense. Yeah, it does, new guy. Because if you go look at Matthew Fitzpatrick, there's guys directly below him that are legit like one, you know, like 50% lower ownership than him. Direct pivots off of him, and there's multiple choices. It's not just one guy that is directly lower than him. There's multiple options. And so because of that, his ownership relative to the people right around him is out of line. So because of that, I'm sorry, Matthew Fitzpatrick. Use a donkey, brother. Use a donkey. Especially now you're a hurt donkey. He'll be fine. Don't worry. The whole hurt thing just means he's going to win. He's going to come limping down the 18th. Ugh, and he's going to win. I'm going to cry. Tears of pissed offness, not joy. All right. Maverick McNeely, 23%. Really the only guy that has super high ownership outside of the 10K guys. If you don't see this one coming, you don't know the brand. A 23% owned Mav McNeely when there's guys legit around him, 8% is the definition of the man is donkey chalk. He is donkey chalk, and we don't play donkey chalk around here. Except when we do, okay? Maverick McNeely, there's just so many obvious pivots off of him. But dude, Maverick McNeely played at Stanford. He's from California, and like this tournament's like in California, so like he's gonna like play well and stuff. Okay, maybe the guy that's a third of the ownership will play just as good as him. Maybe. I'm not telling you not to play these guys. I'm just classifying their chalk level, okay? If you don't like it, click the fuck off. All right, cool. Moving on. Jordan Spieth, 20% as the highest owned guy. You know what I call that? I call that.
Okay.
It's just okay chalk, right? He's only chalk because he's the most expensive guy. People follow the one golden rule of PGA DFS. Spend all your salary. And because people are going to spend their salary, they're just naturally going to click on Jordan Spieth. But 20% is not out of line for where he is in the pricing relationship. But as the highest owned guy, 20% is not that out of line. So he's just okay chalk. If you don't like it, you don't get chalk, brother. Seamus Power, 16%. Ah, that's chalk, man. That is huge chalk. No, it's not. He is completely in line with all the people around him. Okay. He's just okay chalk. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, well, then if he's okay chalk, then Scott Stallings is lower. He's got to be okay chalk, too. No, new guy. Figure it the fuck out. It is about the ownership you have to the people next to you. And Scott Stallings is noticeably higher. I'm talking like twice as high as guys directly above and below him. There are obvious contrarian pivots of guys who are just as good. It's Scott Stallings. Look, I love Scott Stallings. He won me my first GPP. He'll always have a special place in my heart. Genesis 2018. I love you, Scott. Which, by the way, will be our 5-year anniversary next week. I just get so emotional sometimes. However, I'm sorry, Scotty. I'm sorry, brother. The man's donkey chalk. He is donkey chalk. Why are we playing 15% on Scott Stallings? He's not that good of a golfer. I know, because like when he did well, I was like, holy shit, I just won with a really bad golfer. But you do you, boo. You do you. But by definition, he is donkey chalk. And if you don't know what that definition is, it's my definition. All right. Old cheesesteak hoagie. Well, you know what? 10,000 at 15%, the definition of just like he only has ownership because people spend their money. Okay. He's okay, chalk. Okay? He's just okay. That's not that bad. Hold on. I need to get a drink. I'm getting parched. All right. We got some more here. Keith Mitchell, Alex Smalley, Nick Hardy. All of these guys are a little, you're getting a little high, but they're only 20, 25% higher than the guys around them. There's not obvious pivots off of them that are at least 50% lower. So because of that, I feel pretty good calling all three of these guys. I don't love it. I don't love it. But if you love Keith Mitchell, Alex Smalley, Nick Hardy, I don't see enough ownership there to justify getting off of them, right? There's not guys that's like, why on earth are you playing Scott Stallings at 7,900 when you could go play EVR at 5%? They got the exact same chance of doing well this week, yet one's going to be three times higher owned than the other, okay? And one of them wears joggers, which I have heard makes you almost win tournaments until you melt down on Sunday. Am I right, Sammy Ryder? All right, and then the last two, Will Gordon and Bo Hostler. I mean, Dumpy Bo at 12%. Like, what world? What? Is there a glitch in the Matrix? What the hell are we doing? Will Gordon and Bo Hostler. Okay, Will Gordon, at least I get, but Dumpy Bo at 12%? Get the fuck out of here. Tell him, Polly.
Get the fuck out of here.
So because of that, I think I'm in a good mood, and ownership down in the 7,000s tends to be pretty spaced out. So I think I'm just going to have to go, I don't love it. I don't love it. But if you want to play him, you play him. I don't get it. All right, let's get over to the model, because if you don't know, I make models, and that's what I do. And so here you go. I'm looking at approach, good drives. I think you're definitely going to want to be in play off of the tee here. I don't think you need to be a bomber. just general last 24 rounds. I kept it within the last 3 months because I don't give a shit how they played back in July of last year. Par 5 scoring, I think, is very important. All three courses have four par 5s. Course history, looking at strokes gained total on all three courses. Proximity from 100 to 125. I also looked at proximity from 200+. I looked at POA greens because if you don't know, these be some bumpy-ass POA. 200+ products, I already told you. Fast greens. The greens here always play fast. I looked at 54-hole no-cut events. I only gave that 5%. I just wanted to be able to reference it. And, of course, short par 72 courses. Who does well on this, okay? And number one in the model? Old cheesesteak hoagie. How about that? How about that? Delicious. A delicious man. So, let's go through this. As you can see, no surprise, Victor Hovland does good in the model, but probably not as good as you would expect, right? He doesn't really pop in courses like this. Matter of fact, when I think of Victor Hovland, I kind of think of a guy that plays long, hard course as well. So if you're a model guy, you can't be in love that he's literally not in the top 10 at a single statistic that I looked at, right? And then Matthew Fitzpatrick's one of those guys who really does pop in some specific things, but overall he's down. But Matthew Fitzpatrick's just the ultimate, his sum is greater than his parts, right? If you look at any one part of his game, nothing particular stands out, maybe putting, right? But overall, he's unbelievable. You got to love Cheesesteak Hoagie just being like top 10 in 6 or 7 different stats. Maverick McNealy, you know, here's what I would say. Here's the two things that would concern me about Mav McNealy, his mega chalk this week. First of all, like his good drives, he's not noted for being the most accurate driver. Matter of fact, he kind of sucks at driving. And then the other thing is the key range where the plurality of their shots are going to come in this week on all three courses is 100 to 125 yard proximity. So if you're looking for reasons to fade him, those are reasons. If you're looking for reasons to play him, he's a lights out POA putter. He plays these types of courses well. He putts really well on fast greens. He has a tremendous course history, and he's coming in good form. So, you know, like, there's a lot of reasons to like old Mav McNealy this week. Justin Rose being second in the model is truly baffling. Is that old geezer making a comeback? I can't believe this, but like on a short course, I can't believe Denny McCarthy is going to be so low owned. Okay, I get that he's overpriced, but the fact that he's overpriced is a reason that you should play him, not a reason you shouldn't play him. Right? That's Denny McCarthy. Okay, give him a little Denny consideration. Joel Dahman, did we just forget how good this dude was playing off? Hold on. The ranch water's kicking in, bro. Mm-mm-mm. And so, you know, yes, we haven't seen him in a while, but if he comes in with the same form he had, he's a top 10 play in this tournament without question. Taylor Pendrith, he is a guy that just is a terrible course fit. The model hates him. He could never do good. Or he could. No, I'm not going to sell you the hat. I'm not going to sell you the hat. It's not for sale, you mother father. It's a very nice gift from Matty J. Ben Griffin, model god. You got to love how often he's popping in there. But a lot of that is because he's missing some statistics. He's never played at this course. He doesn't even have any POA rounds. So you got to consider that. EVR, overpriced at $8,000. But, like, he's just the obvious pivot off of Scott Stallings, right? Just go play Nick Taylor instead of Scott Stallings or Brennan Todd or Davis Riley. Just go play any of those guys. I don't mind Scott Stallings. I really don't. But the problem is you can never convince me that Scott Stallings is a noticeably better player than Davis Riley, EVR, Nick Taylor, or, you know, even to a lesser extent, Brennan Todd, okay? I got a question. I'll be the first to admit I have my heart's in this one, okay? But I don't want to give up on Webb yet. I still love him, and he means a lot to me, and he's won me a lot of money. And if there's ever a course Webberton could do good at, it would be here, right? So can I still believe? I still want to believe. I don't know if I should. But I will tell you, he does play well at courses like this. He is a tremendous POA putter, and I'm pretty sure that even if he's getting old, he can still roll it on those bumpy-ass POA greens. From there, Dumpy Bow, not great in the model, yet everybody loves him. Easy fade for me. Matthew Neesmith, the model does love him and everybody's going to play him. Not as easy of a fade because, you know, I love my model. How about Nate Lashley just showing up fourth in the model? What the fuck is going on? Nate Lashley, what are we doing? What weird model, but okay. Model don't lie. Okay. Nate Lashley, if you're a model guy, I don't know how you're not just, oh, Nate, I got to play Nate. You got to play him. All right. A couple one to end on. I'll give you a few sleepers that I was looking at. Kevin Tway. I know we think of Kevin Tway as a guy that's long off the tee, and that's true. But actually, maybe he's like a Gary Woodland light, where he is a guy that plays better when he has to club down. And this would actually be supported by the idea that he does play very well at short 72s. Okay, he has been coming in decent form, and he actually was ball striking pretty damn well last week. Kevin Tway. Not a Kevin Tway guy, even though he is a poke. You got to consider him. What about old Bucket Hat? What if we're playing the wrong Bucket Hat with Joel Domin, and we should be playing Peter Malnati? He's actually coming in pretty good form, showed a little life. He's played well here before, and when I think of a guy who can roll it on Poa, I think of Peter Malnati, you mother father. And then the last one, I call him old Sunil No Putt, but you know what? The one place this mother father can putt is Poa. And if Sunil No gets back to the normal ball striking that you expect from Sunil No, he is a dude that can roll it on Poa, and that is what this is going to be. Second shot approaches and rolling in some birdie putts. So Sunil, and if he doesn't putt well, no surprise, he never putts well. But the one time he does is on Poa. Something to consider. Yeah, that's it. That's all the sleepers you get. That's just a quick rundown. To me, the obvious play, the plays are obvious, right? If you don't love Spieth, Hovland, and Fitzpatrick, you look at Hoagie, Putnam, Power. Those guys all offer tremendous leverage. They're all squeezed between McNealy and those big three. So Hoagie, Power, and Putnam, if you have a hot take on any of them, they become the obvious pivots, right? After McNealy, you got Rose, Kuchar, McCarthy. They're all squeezed between Keith Mitchell and McNealy, so they're going to have lower ownership, right? There just becomes these really obvious pivot plays, and please look at me, new guy. Pivoting is the most overrated thing in DFS because here's what people that pivot do. They pivot on all six fucking spots in their lineup, and you don't need to do that. Pivots are when you're making a lineup and you're like, damn, I just started with two really chalky guys. I need to make this lineup a little bit different. Go take one or two guys in that lineup and just simply go pivot to somebody else around them. Now, instead of playing the fifth guy in your lineup being a guy at 13% ownership, he's a guy at 3% ownership. Okay, the last guy in your lineup, instead of being a dude at 8% ownership, he's a dude at 1% ownership. You really only need to make probably two real pivots per lineup, and sometimes one will do you, right? And sometimes you don't need any pivots in a lineup because you've already built your player pool so contrarian that you don't even need to consider pivots because, by definition, your whole player pool is a pivot. So, with that said, who is the one guy I'm definitely not playing this week? Well, you know what? I'll go big. You know what? Fuck it. Tell him.
Get the fuck out of here.
Get out of here, Mav. We're not playing Maverick McNealy. We're not going to play Mav. I'm not going to play a donkey dick chalk Maverick McNealy. And I like Maverick McNealy. But DJN, he's like from California, bro. And like this tournament's in California. So he's like going to play well and stuff. Okay, you fucking stoner. That's your narrative. That's not mine, brother. I'll fade him. Which only leaves one question. One question. Who is the one guy we are definitely playing this week? Well, I've given a lot of thought to this one. And as you know me, I'm a man that loves my models, right? It's all about my model. My model is the truth to the universe. It's the number 42 from the book Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And so because of that, there's only one guy. He loves craps. I love craps. Okay, got to throw the dice. He's a man that has a smile that, you know, only his mother could love, just like my mother's the only one that loves my smile. And he has the best nickname out there. What's his name? His name's old Cheesesteak Hoagie. We're playing Tom. We're playing Tom. We're going all in on Tom. Tom, look at that smile. If that ain't $1 million smile, I don't know what's $1 million smile. We're going to go get him. Me and old Cheesesteak Hoagie, we're taking it down this week. I hope you're ready for it. You ready for the drawing? You ready to give out some money? Make sure you have questions in there with a question mark. But before I get there, go check out my website, dgen75.com. Growing like those sprout things in The Last of Us, right? Ooh, they're all over the place, and it's just growing like wild. Come join up. Why you should sign up is I have the best community out there. We are a group of people. You saw all those screenshots at the beginning of the video. That is all for my community flying the flag. It is about us. It is not about me. It is positive. It is fun. We remember what PGA DFS is about being positive and fun and enjoying it and not being toxic pieces of shit. So there's that. Furthermore, I run it and I'm not going to give you a single pick. I don't give picks. I know you're going to, I'm going to give you money and I'll give you picks. Yeah, that's how it works, right? I'm going to teach you how to fish and you're going to go fish for yourself. But the most important thing is I have the best tool out there called the Rosetta Stone. Okay. How many times have you been to a website and they put a lot of numbers up and they say, go figure it out, dipshit. And you're like, well, what do I do now? Okay. What happens if you had actual useful numbers that told you what matters and categorized those for you all in one place that you could easily reference and determine what you like the most and what stats you want to focus on? Oh, look at that. It's the Rosetta Stone. Come check it out. I do it for every week long, round three and round four. Well, not round three this week because this is a weird fucking tournament, but normally I do it for round four. Do me a favor. Go like and subscribe. Smash the like button, as people who like to tease say. Almost to 2,500. We're pushing hard to 3,000. You got to remember, I'm independent AF. No sponsors. No media network sponsoring my shit. I'm just one dude with a camera talking shit. So you liking and subscribing means a lot to me. It helps a lot. I really appreciate it. Furthermore, did you know I was on the Tour Junkie show yesterday? Go check it out. Very cool dudes. Love those guys. Been watching them for years. Go watch that. And lastly, go give me a follow on Twitter. Always reach out. Send me a DM. I'll always get back to you in a thoughtful and timely manner. I don't take myself too serious. I'm a man of the people. I don't think I'm like too cool for you like peasants that have questions for me. Okay, I'm not that guy. A lot of California surfer dudes tonight. I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's the ranch water. All right. Without further ado, let's get to the drawing. Has he already done it? Do we already do it, editor? Let's see. Do we do the winners? All right. Let's do it. Here we go. Editor, this is from my dude, Ruffy Daz Z, who smashed twice in the last week. He wanted to sponsor 2 weeks worth of giveaways. He's had so much success. I appreciate you, Ruffy. You the man. I still got all kinds of people lined up. I still got Nick, and I still got Nuggets, and I still got... There's others. I mean, just a lot of people want to support these giveaways. I appreciate every one of you motherfathers growing the brand. I appreciate all you guys that fly the flag. Here is our winners. Winner number one. It's Michael Miller. I saw Michael Myers. That's just because I'm scared right now. Matt, I'm just going to call you Slovakia. Okay, Matt Slovakia. Wombat B. I know that motherfather. I know him personally. And to play me for, what is it? What's in the fuck counter? Fuck that. So because of that, we got for $20, who's playing me? Thad Wah. What a name. Thad Wah. That what a name, okay? There you go, guys. Those are our winners. Reach out to me tonight. Shoot me a DM. If you're already on the Discord, send me one over there. We're making a $20 lineup tonight that we are going to put in the big $20 pitch and putt. I will split all the profits with you 50-50. We actually, me and one guy, we got up into the top 500 on Sunday last weekend. Just kind of flamed out like everybody did because Sunday was so brutal. So reach out to me. We'll make that lineup tonight, you motherfathers. All right, let's get to some Q&A, and then let's get out of here because the big guy's hungry. For all of you that leave right now, how dare you? How dare you? Stick around for the Q&A. All right, Mr. Petrini, if Hovland is a core play in my pool and I only play 3-max, how can I adequately get leverage on him? Well, that's simple, man. You just play him in 2 of those 3 lineups, and by your leverage, you would have him in 67% of your lineups, which would be far above the 27% that I currently have him projected at, right? So just make sure you get him in 2 of your 3 lineups, if not 3 of 3, and just commit to it, right? The smaller number of lineups I do, Mr. Petrini, the more aggressive I'm willing to be. Like this week, I think I'm only going to do 18 lineups, and because of that, I will probably have 4 guys and maybe 60% of my lineups, or I'll probably do 2 guys and 100% of my lineups. There is one guy I kind of like. Old cheesesteak hoagie. Okay, moving on. Hovland is in everybody's core. He's not in mine. Well, he's in the core of my heart because he's a cowboy like me. I'm not liking anyone in the 6K range. Hannah, go watch my sleepers video today. Maybe I could sell you on one, right? How do you not like Kevin Tway? Another poke. Pokes all over the place. Joanne, that means Hovland is not in everyone's card. Fade top 10, more value down there. I don't disagree with my lady there. All right, windiest at Pebble on Saturday and lesser into Sunday. Kurt, I agree, Mr. Walks. That is correct. I think that Saturday does offer the most concerning day to play Pebble. Okay, I will say that. However, to make an entire week-long decision based off this is actually a point that Tambo made earlier on his show with on the show with Pat Mayo, as he said, I don't know if I want to make week-long decisions based off of what could just amount to 9 holes on Saturday. I don't know if that's enough reason to get off of Spieth, Fitzpatrick, and Hovland, guys like that, right? However, if they're guys you're already not in love with and that's what you need to be the tiebreaker to get off of them, I say more power to you, brother. With so many AMs in the tournament, going to focus more on Showdown. Hey, I agree with you, Hannah. Go play Showdown tomorrow, guys. Come over to my website. I will have out Round 1 Showdown strategy tonight. I'm going to go probably just go record it right after this. And I already did one, but I'm going to do another because my thoughts have solidified. Waiting for next week's tournament, going to be a great one. Join the next 2 weeks are going to be amazing. We have Waste Management and Genesis, 2 of my favorite tournaments of the year. Can't wait. The wind won't affect the other courses as much. No, it doesn't. Matter of fact, Joanne, go look at Hannah, go look at those videos I put out earlier. It really shows that Pebble Beach is affected way more by the wind than the other two courses. All right, let's see here. Good to know for Saturday Showdown, although the cut is through Saturday, I think. That is correct, Kurt. We'll only have one round of really playing the game when it comes to regular Showdown, right? But to me, that's even better because, you know, so many people are going to play guys on Pebble Beach Saturday, and that's stupid. Okay, they're going to be like, I play Jordan Spieth. Or you don't, you donkey dick. Let's go. All you guys and girls, best day of the week. Hey, it's Nick, my mother father. I think it's a third-round cut. All players play Pebble on Sunday. That is correct, Kurt. Is DA points a must-play? He's playing with Bill Murray. No way he gets to miss the cut. Nick, I don't understand that question. I think it's lost in translation. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you in the back. Thank you. All right. It is three rounds, one at each, then cut. All right. A lot of people not knowing the form here. Only two entry contest link. Let's go. Yeah, only two people in there. Me versus you, Bates. What's up, Kenneth? Michael, will St. Bonaventure own St. Bastian Carey playing partner Bird? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Jonathan Bird just needs to be carried by old St. Bonnie's. Let's see, scrolling through the Swiss Alps, man. I have a question about win equity. To get above 10% win equity, I need to have one of the top three golfers in my lineup for PB. Is it okay to create lineups with less than 10%? Yeah. I mean, you know, the one thing that model doesn't account for is if there is a weather edge, right? You got to remember, Swiss Alps, man, that when we make that win equity model, we're doing it all three courses playing equal. We're trying to take the bias out of it and do it as objectively as possible. And when you do that, like that's great. That's how you want it to be. But you also have to factor in that if you think there's going to be a weather edge or one of these rotations is going to have the better bit of it, that win equity changes quite a bit, right? Like those guys that are playing, all the good players that are playing Pebble Beach on Saturday will now be dramatically lower because they got the worst end of a draw. Make sense? All right. What's up, you mother father? Am I at work listening to the stream? Second shift sucks. Kenny, that's a man that gets it. At work listening to the stream. You got to love that dude. Who's your favorite? Who is your favorite pivot overall? Cheesesteak Hoagie, man. Piece of cake. That's a piece of cake. Piece of cake. Taylor Pendrith would be another one if you want another one, Mr. Trace. Devin, what's up, you mother father? Favorite 7K guy? Well, you know what? Let me get over here, you mother father. That ain't it. Let me get over here. 7K guy that I am lubed up to play. Davis Riley. Give me the date. Wait, what course is Davis Riley on? Is Davis Riley? I don't want anybody. Okay, I'll just stick with Davis Riley. How do I buy that hat to rep the brand? You don't. It's special. Okay, I just want people to be jealous. Look, I also got you mother father. I got Showdown Hoedown. I'll be wearing that on the show Friday. Are woodchucks beavers? No, but they could chuck wood. Ben Griffin, donkey chalk. Borderline Trent. I would say he's chalk. But he actually, in my last version that I did of ownership, I actually dropped him a decent amount to like just kind of like not so gross chalk. I think the main reason, Trent, is he's just a little overpriced. I don't think Ben Griffin should be 8,600 in this field. And so because of that, I think we're getting him. I think that's the number one thing that will keep his ownership down. It's because if there's one rule that people love, it's spend all your money. If there's one rule people hate, it's overpaying for a player. Mm-mm-mm. Have you heard any strange narratives from the community this week? I thought I heard some chatter about EVR. But then when I went to do ownership, it just wasn't there. I didn't see it. It wasn't baking out in my model, so I don't know. I guess the Matthew Fitzpatrick stuff, I think people will overblow that. That's why, I'm discounting his ownership quite a bit. There will be a decent amount of people, but he's not hitting the ball as far as he normally does. Hey, he doesn't hit the ball far anyways, bruh. All right, how many players in your player pool to seeing it's a pro-am? Seeing I'm doing 18 lineups, I'll probably have 15 players in my player pool. Get you some food, editor. Wait, did I miss something? Oh, shit, Nick dropped a super chat. Where the hell is that? Oh, there, it's way down there. Okay. I didn't even see that. Thanks, Nick, you mother father. You can only do it because you're rich. GPP Cash or Showdown, what's your lean this week for Windy 50? Definitely Showdown. If I had to rank them, Showdown Cash would be number one. It'll just be so easy to get guys on the better courses and then Showdown GPPs. And then week-long GPPs, and then week-long cash. That would be my order, 1, 2, 3, 4. Hope that answered it for you. Mr. Bites. Sean, are there any players to be aware of that don't do well at pro-ams? Yeah, all the AMs. Can you fade the upper 10K players? I like a lot of lower values. Absolutely. I think you can fade all the 10Ks. I don't think that any of those guys, especially if you catch a wave edge, they have like win equity that breaks the slate. How much salary are you willing to leave on the table in Classic is too much? This week, probably more than normal, Jerry Matt, but I would say probably no more than 700 or 800. But I do realize that, I'm going to have to, extend that out a little bit, especially if I'm going to not play guys that finish on Pebble Beach, because that's where all the expensive guys are, right? Thoughts on Adam Schenck? It seems like it'd be a good course fit, Jonathan. It really does. I just don't like him. Maybe it's the last name. Maybe I get scared about playing a guy named Schenck so close to the ocean. Rosen Power, my second highest owned players this week. Too crazy. Not at all. Christian, I really like Justin Rose. I like that he's overpriced. He should not be 9,500. He should be 8,800. So that's all the reason I like him. Seamus, I think that it could be in the bad draw. But if there's a guy that can play in some really tough condition, it's Seamus Power because of how he's Irish. Matt Slovakia. I believe you said previously that you shoot for 11% or more win equity. Do you target that for top 20 percentage? Yeah, so for top 20 percentage, it's great when you can get that top 20 percentage somewhere around like 120%, right? Because then that basically means you're averaging about 20% per guy. You're obviously not going to be able to get 20% for all six of your guys. But if you can get above 100% top 20, I think that's a good number, Matt. Is Saturday afternoon going to be bad with the winds? Kenneth, it would appear that way. You see right here, it really start to pick up around noon on, on Saturday, brother. And I know I paid for this site, so it's got to be right. It's got to be right, $18. Look at that guy. Let's just leave that up. Let's just leave up that good-looking face right there. Do you care if playing a good pro-am partner like Strong? You know what, Chris? I actually, that is a narrative. I do buy that the playing with a good partner can motivate them to play better, but I do not buy that you're playing with somebody shitty, it's going to hurt you. I'll leave that for dumbasses to chase that narrative, okay? Kisner week, I'm doing it. Brent, I'll tell you what, Kevin Kisner can only play well on about 10 courses a year, and this is definitely one of them. At 3% ownership, if he is on the right course rotation, I'll play Kis right there with you, mother father. 20 max dime contests are great places to practice. Agreed, Sean. Who is your favorite pivot overall? Pendrith. Just always Pendrith. I just think he's a real talent that no one's going to play. Is it a great course fit? No. But you know what? He could never do good. Or he could. When it comes to showdown, with many people catching on to edges, do you ever think about people may play a weather edge and the real edge would be to not play the weather edge? Absolutely, LS Golf. That's a great point, man. I have already started to notice. I've only been doing the showdown hoedown for about 8 months, but just a great example would be this past Sunday. In the big $20, Sam Ryder was only 31%. I guarantee you, when I first started my show, Sam Ryder leading a tournament by four shots would have been 50% owned. So people are starting to get a little bit sharper when it comes to PGA DFS showdown, right? And so because of that, I think that you can start to, you know, really, especially later on in this year, as more people start to get exposed to showdown, I really think you can start playing counter narratives, right? Like a good one tomorrow, go play guys from Spyglass Hill. No one is going to play guys from Spyglass Hill tomorrow, okay? I don't agree with that move, but if you want to be contrarian and have, you know, like I would guarantee you that about 60 to 65% of lineups won't have a single guy from Spyglass Hill tomorrow. So that is an edge to chase. And what I would tell you is this, is yes, it probably will play harder than the other courses. However, all the good golfers are going to be over there. And Victor Hovland at a harder course is still probably better than Andrew Putnam at an easier course. I know, reality hurts. Is Kisner, Rose, and Piercy too many pivots in a 3-max? That's three real big pivots in a lineup, right? I feel like any one of those guys is a great pivot, maybe even two of them if you're feeling contrarian, but three just for the sake of doing it just seems a wee bit too much for me, buddy. A wee bit too much. What's good, fam? Aaron, my man from Texas. If targeting Monterey Peninsula and showdown, is there a birdie streak advantage to players teeing off at 1 or 10? That is a great motherfather question. Thad, I don't know off the top of my head, but here's what you look for. You simply just go look at the birdie rate on 1 and on 10, because those are the most important, as those are the holes that cross over from 1-9 to the other. I actually probably should go talk about that with my Discord tonight. Peter Lavin, how many players would you close in on for 170 lineups? 28. That's about how many I play every week, Peter, so that, I know that number. Did 33 last week, finished 4th. Thank you, brother. Hey, Kenneth, let's go, you mother father. Always feel free to shoot great lineups at me. I love to retweet your guys' shit. Should we load up on Monterey Peninsula tomorrow and go heavy on earlier tee times? I think so, Tim. I think that's kind of what I'm leaning towards. I do worry a little bit about it being cold in the morning, though, and that affecting scoring, because cold can affect scoring. Is Pebble Beach too easy for Matthew Fitzpatrick? Every course is too easy for Matthew Fitzpatrick. Is he going to play Ike? Yes, he's definitely going to play. If you were going to play Matthew Fitzpatrick, don't let any of this news affect you, man. Matthew Fitzpatrick's going to play. Everything's fine. Did you see FanDuel ever catching up to DraftKings and PGA? You know what, Michael? The difference between FanDuel and DraftKings was like this. It was like that close. The little itty-bitty gap when I first started. And then FanDuel just decided to be real dumbasses about everything and grow shit really slowly and stupidly. And they've just never latched onto it, and they let DraftKings run away with it. So, no, they will never catch up to them. If anything, the gap is growing. Love the show. Thoughts on Webb. Tripp, I love you, and I like Webb. I'm probably going to play him unless he is playing Pebble Beach on Saturday. Then I might not. Justin Rose, one and done? I kind of dig it. I kind of dig it. I do. I feel like that old man has one last run in him, and maybe I'm being a bit biased here, but Justin Rose has been so good for so long that I've been playing PGA DFS. I have a soft spot in my soul for that man. I will never forget Johnny Miller. what was it? It was like the Northern Trust back in like 2017, 2018, and Justin Rose, like, he's going for it in two on the 18th hole, and he's like, well, Johnny Miller's like, Justin Rose is going to go for it in two, even though he can't get there because he's rich. And I just remember Justin Rose just launching a three wood right into the gutter. He had no chance of getting there, but he didn't give a shit because he was so rich. He didn't care if he got a bogey or a birdie on the last hole, right? He just said, fuck it, I'm going for it. And so because of that, I've just loved Justin Rose ever since that moment. How's it going, D-Gen? Better now that you're here, you mother father. Did Rose from Mayo one and done last week? Meh. Yeah. Maybe you should have played him this week. Are you worried about some of the touts saying Fitzy's swing? I'm not. Shit. Matter of fact, it makes me like him more, Hannah. If I liked him before, I'd only be more convicted in playing him, because if I've learned anything about Wednesday evening bullshit narratives, they're all bullshit. The showdown GPPs on DK are hot trash tomorrow. I agree with that assessment, but they'll be a lot better for round two, round three, and round four. I promise, Carl. Kush Life, any worry about Fitz? I'm not worried about him. I'm not. Thoughts on Sean O'Hare breaking showdown slate tomorrow? And Sean O'Hare always has a -8. There's only about 10 guys, like 10 scrubs, that can go nuclear hot, and when they do, you got to watch out. It's like Danny Lee, James Hahn, Sean O'Hare. Okay, those are the kind of guys that just get nuclear hot. Mike, will this week be the Harry Higgs breakthrough? No, Harry Higgs will be at the Waste Management so we can see that big old sexy belly of his. Any thoughts for cash head-to-head and double-ups? I love cash head-to-head and double-ups. We're actually tracking weak cash players over on my website, and we are finding out who the weaker head-to-head players are to go attack them and play them. I love playing them in showdown because it just makes it more easy for them to be fucking morons. From there, Knox a good for cash. Yeah, Hannah, check out the stone. I got it up over there. He is definitely on the. I'm pretty sure I have him colored as cash. For showdown, round one through three, any course you'd stack over the others? Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely, Cody. Watch the video I put out today. I don't want to give away everything I put out over on the Discord here. Will Eric Van ruin my weekend? Probably, but he might also Eric Van make it too, you motherfather. Be positive. Hey, thanks, Hannah. Appreciate that. Do you care about from SoCal, like Su, who went to USC and might be more familiar with courses? I mean, this ain't anywhere near USC, right? Monterey is way the hell up the coast. There is, look, it's way down here. Look, you got to scroll way down. Where the hell is it at? Los Angeles, way down here. It's way up here. Hell, it's probably closer to, it definitely is closer to San Francisco. Course history mean a thing? Yeah, definitely. I think course history always means a thing. Guys that play well in this time of year, these type of courses, I like it. More bent grass NorCal compared to Bermuda SoCal. I agree with that, Kush. Is there a target range for total ownership exposure? Okay, so Carm, this is something you're going to want to understand, that like I'm much more bigger on product ownership, which is where you multiply the ownership of each individual player, than I am on total cumulative ownership. Cumulative ownership is just kind of a noob way of thinking about things. They always say standard 80%, but really 80% doesn't matter if three of those guys are 1% owned. Okay, it really doesn't matter. You'll be so much different than everybody else. Matthew Cohen, if you played head-to-head contests against three different opponents who had identical lineups, would you suspect? Oh, absolutely. That's a common thing that they do, Matthew. They'll go play the same lineup. This is very common in like football. They'll just go play optimals, and they'll block you out by doing that with like one-off piece, right? It's a common thing. That's very shady. What is your favorite contrarian course rotation play? I would want guys who start at, I think that the one that I like the most is start at Monterey. I think that's the one. Yep. Do you like any course history chints for this tourney? Yeah, guys who play well here. I always like guys. I always consider course history. I saw average odds here is plus 9,700. I forgot who we're talking about. Sorry. Should be playing Pebble Beach Thursday. I think that you want to get Joanne guys going off. You're over on the thing. Go check out the video. You want guys that go off Thursday over there, I think, or Friday afternoon. Do you like Nick Taylor this week? I like what course rotation he's on, Bill, so I guess by proxy I like him. How much do we boost Keith Mitchell for playing with Josh Allen? Well, I have to assume he's going to choke, just like Josh Allen did. Damn, and I'm a Bills fan. Any sneaky low-owned plays you like? Yeah, Kevin Tway. SaberSim had Osler popping up a bunch. Well, okay. Cool. Sean, if Hoagie defends, I will eat a Hoagie. Hey, verbal bets are binding, sir. Two veterans coming in good form, Jimmy Walker and Scott Piercy. Like either one? I actually like Scott Piercy more than I like Jimmy Walker. Jimmy Walker did do well last week, but it was largely smoke and mirrors with short game. We have a screenshot of the model in the Discord. We'll have a screenshot of the model in the Discord. Yeah, it's up there. It's up there, Hannah. You're in there. I've seen you in there. You're in there. Hey, DGen, so who is the one favorite play in the 7K range you think that many won't be on? Sure, brother, I'll give you that real quick. That no one's going to play from the 7Ks that could be the nuts. Hold on. All the guys I'm instantly thinking, Webb Simpson. Webb is going to come back. He's got one last life left in him. Who are some of your favorites from 7 point to 8 point? I love Davis Riley. That's it. Davis Riley is my answer. Let's see. Nice hat. Everyone has a price. The $1 million man. Hey, Ted DiBiase. I get that reference, you mother father. Do I go all Monterey Peninsula and Showdown? No, I think you want to go Monterey Peninsula and probably mix in some Pebble Beach tomorrow, especially if they go off earlier. What was the answer to the poll? Whatever your heart said, Robert Page. Nope, selling the hat. Not selling it. When do we play cash lineups? I have a preference for contests, double ups, triple ups. I prefer double ups, 50-50s, and head-to-heads. That's what I prefer, Mark. Do you have a certain percentage you want your total lineups to be under? Once again, I like product ownership, and as long as I have enough low-owned guys in it, I don't worry about the total cumulative ownership of the lineup. Top three guys getting steamed in a small field. I think that Hovland's going to catch some steam tonight. I think Mav McNeely, and I think Scott Stallings. Best approach round one this week, the Hollywood Hogue. Cheesesteak Hogue. I need to have my own nicknames. All right, moving on. Good luck. Does Nick Taylor's ownership get steamed up tonight given his history? I don't think so. I really don't. Let's go, Mike. Signing up now. Let's go, T989. What a name. Thanks, big guy, for all the knowledge. You're welcome, sister. You going low with anyone specific to under 7K? I'll give you one more. Let's see. Who's somebody under 7K I like? Someone under 7K I'm going to play. Peter Malnati. I like the book of tights. Overlooked, over-owned range. What will be the... I got an answer for that. Everybody in this low 8 and upper 7K range not named Scott Stallings will be pretty forgotten about. Love seeing the brand grow. Love you being a part of it, you mother father. I still remember you helping me get to 1,000 people. Domin for the win. Don't hate it, Nate. If he plays like he was, he's there. Any thoughts on Garrigan and Hostler, who finished decent here last year? Garrigus, no. Dumpy Bo, I wanted to play until I saw 12% ownership. I won't play Dumpy Bo at 12% ownership in this lifetime or the next 58 lifetimes. Not going to happen. Bill says, good luck, everybody. Hey, good luck to you. Best show. Thank you. Appreciate it, Greg. That's it, you motherfuckers. Thanks for staying until the end. Don't forget to go check out DGen75.com. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And, of course, don't forget to go reach out to me on Twitter if you ever have anything. I hope it's been real. I hope you've had as much fun as me, and I hope to see you again Friday and Saturday. But in the meantime, what I really care about is I hope you enjoy this outro.